Tan, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, to start us off, can you give us a little bit of an idea of your own background and your experiences with racism in the past?
Well, you know, like, everyone has their own story, but I don't think mine's any particularly better or worse. But the issue with me is we came over here as Vietnamese refugees back in 1997, and we were literally one of the first Vietnamese refugees to arrive in suburban Sydney. So that has its own challenges. Every school I went to, whether it was primary school through to high school, I was literally the only Asian child in the class. And, you know, children being what they are, the first thing they did was notice that I was different, and particularly that my hair, Asian hair, was such a big novelty back then, wiry, thick, black. So they had to touch it. That's the first thing. And after having a good go at that, then they noticed that my eyes were different. Now, I personally didn't notice that my eyes were different to anybody else's, but apparently they slanted. So that was another cause for extreme amusement and a lot of jokes and a lot of them trying to squeeze their eyes into a slit to try and, embarrass me, I suppose.
Mm.
And then when that was over, they wanted to hear me talk. So the next question was, you know, where do you come from? Is it Chinese? Are you Chinese or Vietnamese? No, are you Chinese or Japanese? Because they hadn't heard of Vietnam at that stage.
Mm.
And so I disappointed them even more by saying Vietnam, and, you know, to mass confusion all around.
Well, I mean, obviously you could argue kids can be kids, but when it comes to adults that are still perpetuating racism, you've said that, well, it's not worth actually calling them out on it. Playing the victim, you're saying, the victim of racism, it gives them power. It's defeatist, and it's an admission that attitudes can't be changed. What exactly do you mean by that?
Yeah, so that was an example. Firstly, it was an example of young children, and children will be children. But, you know, there's countless examples of me growing up with adults and even my partner's grandparents having very, very strong views towards Asians because he fought against them in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the first thing. But for me, some of it is about context. You don't know the person's experience. You don't know what they're worried about. You don't know their fears. And you actually don't know how ignorant they might be. Maybe the behavior might be a racist behavior, but the person themselves, I mean, it's heavy to kind of use one thing to say that they're racist, because it's like if I told a lie one day, then I'm going to get branded as a liar all my life.
Mm.
And I think that's the point I was trying to make, that it's actually, and by just screaming it out all the time without any solution, without engaging them into a conversation, to actually just talk about it, that's where I think the defeatist attitude is, because the minute you throw that label, you're going to throw up a wall, you're going to separate yourself and them, and you're never going to agree. So for me, that's an admission that they can't change, people can't change opinions, that they might have been ignorant, and they could actually, a decent chat, might have the opportunity to change their mind.
Now, we've seen in recent times protests like Reclaim Australia, where they're large movements, they're big groups of people that are coming up and claiming we want the Muslims out, and quite obviously, quite overtly racist in a lot of the chat that they've been having.
Mm.
Obviously, you're advocating for sitting down and having a conversation with people, but it's not logistical to really have a conversation with each of these members. How exactly would you see us sort of counteracting against movements like this with other things, without a broader discussion where we first call out the racism?
Yep, you're right. But the issue I have for the calling out is we call it out and that's it.
Mm.
Does anything else happen after that? And that Reclaim Australia is a good example, because if you look carefully at the footage, that is made of a diverse group of Australians from all backgrounds and different cultures, different groups. So we do need to have a chat about it. Otherwise, why is it the case that if there were, you know, migrants in that group to Reclaim Australia, there were Asians in that group in Reclaim Australia? I think it deserves to have a chat. I mean, the example I draw in the opinion piece is, during the Howard years, his asylum seeker policies were supported by the Vietnamese community. Now, the leadership of it certainly was. Now, So do we call them out as racist, or do we actually just go, hey, hang on, what's the reason here? Let's have a chat to understand why.
So that's quite interesting. So rather than sort of having this, you're a racist, therefore you are evil, you are bad, you are not worth talking to, it's more about saying, well, you're not a bad person, you may have got these misinformed views, and maybe we can talk about that, maybe we can sort of get together and explain to one another the positions of which we're coming from.
And you're right, and I'm not saying there aren't people who are racist, but I think it is worth sitting down and actually taking a view first of, is that the case or is it just ignorant? But if we rush in too early, I think it just causes, you know, the war goes up. The minute you label someone, I mean, it's a heavy label. It's like calling someone a liar all their life. The war's going to go up. They're going to get defensive. And if you're going to try to get them into a conversation to understand why, the case with my grandfather was, my partner's grandfather, was he fought against the Japanese in the war. He hates them. That's the first thing he said to me. The first time we've ever met, he wanted that to be known first. He doesn't like Asians because he fought against them. He stayed with us in Sydney because they're from far north Queensland for 2 weeks. And in that 2 week, we didn't even talk about it, but I just was myself during the whole time. And then through that, through just having the experience of people from different cultures, he realizes I'm probably no different from anybody else. And the glimmer of hope in that is when he went back to far north Queensland at the height of the Pauline Hanson craziness, he actually was defending the Asians. He said, well, they're not bad. You know, my grandson's partner is Vietnamese and he's great. But, you know, how does someone like that who's never had an experience with someone else from a different culture, I mean, I think it would be wrong to call him out as a racist because he hadn't had the chat.
Well, thank you very much. Do appreciate your time on The Daily this morning. Obviously, a really important one to get the conversation started. Very, very tense one at the moment here in Australia, and do appreciate your insight.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate.